Welcome back to Game On, where every season is our season. Here's Wes Moore.
Let's talk a little Razorback football. Matt Jones joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Matt with WholeHogSports.com, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Wes, I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me.
Man, thank you. Let's start with the scrimmage Saturday. What jumped out at you the most about the scrimmage? Was it the explosiveness of Hayden, Chase Hayden?
Well, number one, what I would say is a precursor to answering this is that the scrimmage featured ones against twos, and so it was starters against backups. And obviously, we talked before that Arkansas doesn't have a lot of depth at a lot of positions. So when you're talking backups, you're talking about players who, you know, may only be in their 10th college practice playing in this scrimmage. So I think that should be said first. And the other thing that I would say is that I don't put a lot of stock into, you know, say what the first offense did or what the first defense did, you know, based on some of the competition. So what I was looking at more and what I think you can take out of these scrimmages like that are some, you know, individual characteristics. David Williams, for instance, the transfer running back from South Carolina, you could tell that he was a really patient runner, did a nice job on a few runs of, you know, letting his blocks form before he kind of hit the hole. Chase Hayden was able to break some arm tackles, which is I think is something that you don't see a lot from a freshman, in particular a freshman who has only been on campus for a couple of months. He's not like Malik Williams, who went through spring practice. So those were a couple of things that I noticed. I thought that, Austin Allen looked really sharp throwing the football. He was 19 of 22 based on the numbers that I had, and one of those incompletions was a drop by Tobias Enloe on one of the first passes of the scrimmage. I thought the offensive line looked a little bit better in pass blocking than it did against similar competition at this time last year. I think that there's still some work that they need to do in their run blocking. So those were some things that stood out to me. I thought Giovanni LaFrance looked pretty dominant as a second-team linebacker going up against the first-team line. He had about three tackles for loss. I thought McTelvin Aguim looked awfully good, obviously going up against the second-team offensive line. But you can tell that he's a guy who is going to be a dominant player on the defensive line before his time's up at Arkansas, which is what a lot of people expected from him, being what the number 10, I think, overall ranked recruit in the country. So, again, those were some things that stood out to me, but you have to take all of that with the understanding that it was not what the team is going to see when they play the likes of TCU, Texas A&M, and so on.
You know, Matt, sometimes I take away things that the backups did against the starters, and to me it's even more impressive when you look at, like, Coylen Jackson. When you make a play against Ryan Pulley, to me that's something to get excited about.
Yeah, he made a nice play against Pulley. He was covered well, went up, made a one-handed catch against Pulley. Chase Hayden's run came behind the second-team offensive line going up against the first-team defense. He broke a couple of tackles, I think, including one by DeAndre Coley, in route to scoring on that play. I thought that Cole Kelly and made a couple of nice passes where you could see that. I think he looks a little bit more comfortable going through his progressions than Ty Story. They put those two basically in the same situations with the second team offense, and Kelly just looked a little bit more comfortable passing it downfield. You see Ty Story check down quite a bit. But yeah, and then Giovanni LaFrance, like I said earlier, playing with the second-team defense, made a lot of really nice plays in the backfield against the starting offense.
Matt Jones is with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Matt, how do you see this running back position breaking down maybe throughout the year? Is David Williams the guy?
Well, No, I mean, Devoy Whaley is the guy. He's the number one guy. I assume you're asking who's the number two running back. You know, and I would say that that competition right now is kind of between Chase Hayden and David Williams. But as we've seen with Brett since he's been here, Arkansas is going to rotate a lot of running backs in there so long as it can stay healthy at the position. And what I think you're probably going to see is David Williams be David Williams and Malik Williams. I think that they're probably a little bit more apt to be players in short yardage situations. They're, you know, they're built a little bit bigger, especially than Chase Hayden. And you know, I think you know, that Hayden and Whaley could be your running backs who are going to be more prone to break big runs. But I think Devoy Whaley is no doubt the number one running back. Really, you know, what this preseason camp is going to be about at that position is trying to figure out, you know, who gets the carries behind him. And I think that right now, you know, that's probably kind of a situational thing, especially between David Williams and Chase Hayden.
Did LaMichael Petway wake up and smell the coffee?
He had a couple of nice plays on Saturday where he caught the ball over the middle. The two big catches that he had, he beat Cameron Curl, who's a freshman cornerback, and on one of them, Curl just fell down, and that allowed Petway to score from, I think, 67 yards. And on another one, he just beat Curl and caught it, and I think was tackled at the one-yard line, and something like a 65-yard gain, 64-yard gain, something like that. And so when you see those big numbers from him on Saturday, the majority of those numbers came on those two passes where he, he whipped a freshman cornerback who hasn't seen that type of speed before at the receiver position. I think that he's going to play a factor this year as a receiver, but, you know, like I said a little bit earlier, I don't put a whole lot of stock into some of these numbers and stats that you see from the scrimmages, especially when they're going ones versus two as they were in that one. I think that with Jared Cornelius being out, that it's opened the door for a lot of receivers. You know, a lot of these receivers were able to play multiple positions, and so they're able to do some mix and match type stuff with those receivers, and it's given a lot of guys some opportunities to play with the first team and to stand out. And I think Petway, what you've seen from him in the last week is that he's answered the challenge by his coaches, who, you know, said that he needs to, and getting his playbook, he needs to stop dropping passes. And from all accounts, both what we saw Saturday and what we've heard the other players say about the closed practices, he's really responded well to that in the last week. And I would say that's probably a good indication that he's going to be a receiver who factors in quite a bit to their plans this year.
We're talking with Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Matt, we were discussing the offensive line before you came on here, and I think you could take there are four candidates on that offensive line, take out Frank Ragnow, but with a year's experience, I think when it's all said and done, one of those four guys could be the most improved player on this team at the end of the year. Out of the four, who would you say would have the best chance to be the most improved player of the season?
Probably the most improved would be Colton Jackson, if he continues to, if he's able to play the way he practices. And so many times, Wes, there's players who practice well, and it just takes them a long time to get it into a game situation. I remember Drew Morgan was the one who had the absolute best stats every practice, it seemed like, for 2 years, but he never made it into a game, or he rarely did. And then, of course, his last 2 years, he became a breakout player. But it took him a while to get to, you know, to take what he did in practice and for it to carry over into a game. And I think Colton Jackson's really improved a lot since last year. You know, he didn't miss. I think I only saw maybe one missed block on Saturday, and I don't think it came from him. I remember Yelter Frollo got stood up by Jake Hall on one passing situation with the first team offense. But overall, I thought the line looked pretty good. Jackson, though, given how much he struggled early last year and obviously losing his job as a result of it, and what I think that he might be able to do this year, if you're asking about offensive linemen who's most improved, I think it would be him.
Matt, are you buying into the offensive line? I thought there was a great story in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette this morning just another year of experience, playing together all those games during the spring, fall practice, and then what they did this summer. Are you buying in? Is this offensive line going to be, what would you guess? How much better will it be?
I think they're going to be better in pass protection. I don't think you'll see Austin Allen get sacked 35 times again this year. What I'm most interested in, and I don't think I really have an answer for this yet, is how are they going to be able to perform in short yardage situations? You know, the Texas A&M game last year, they failed to score from the 1 or the 2 yard line 12 times in that game, and that probably, it may have not been the difference in the game, but it definitely played a factor in the outcome, or at least in the in the margin of loss. So that's what I'm most interested in, and you know, I don't know that I've seen enough yet to say they're going to be better in that regard. I think that that's one of those things where we're just going to have to see. And you probably won't figure that out until they see a quality defensive line against Texas A&M on September 23rd.
I think one thing that's going to help this offensive line, last year really was the year of the defensive end of defensive linemen. You look back at the NFL draft and how many SEC defensive ends, defensive tackles were taken. I don't think the defensive lines will be as strong. They're going to be good in the SEC, don't get me wrong. But last year was just one of those years where you had a lot of great defensive linemen they were going up against every year. And it was a challenge to start off with them being inexperienced. But I think this year with more experience, they're going to be better. And I don't think the defensive lines will be as strong.
I think you're right. And I said that back in the summer. Texas A&M loses, Hall and Garrett, and Auburn had Lawson and Adams, and Alabama had all the linemen that it had. Of course, it's going to be able just to restack its defensive line. But I think you're actually going to see the SEC maybe become a little bit more of a running team this year, because I think teams are going to see that there are some new players along the defensive line, and maybe at least the first few weeks, they're going to test them in the run game, see if they can get some yardage that way. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. Say, at Arkansas, if Austin Allen's passing numbers are a little bit down this year just because they feel like they can run the ball better. Of course, a lot of that's going to depend on the offensive line, and we'll see how much better Arkansas's offensive line is, in that regard, in run blocking. I think it'll be a little bit better, Wes. I just don't know how much better yet, because we really haven't seen them go up against, and when I say them, I'm talking about the first offensive line. We just haven't seen them go up against that first defensive line and really get a good indication of how good they are in run blocking.
Matt Jones is with us, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, WholeHogSports.com. Matt, is everything okay with the tight end position? Are they good with what they have, or do they still need someone to step up?
I think that Austin Cantrell is the number one guy there, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. The thing that Arkansas's offense does is it uses a lot of tight ends, 2 and 3 tight end sets. And Jeremy Patton's been a little bit limited this preseason looked like he suffered a hip flexor injury last week, so he didn't scrimmage in the on Saturday. Will Gregg, he's just kind of disappeared, I think, from that tight end race. Grayson Gunter was getting some work with the developmental team the other day. So I think that there's some other players that I know I'm forgetting. They've got so many tight ends on this roster, but I think they've got the bodies at tight end. It's just a matter of who's going to step up behind Cantrell. I think Cantrell is probably next in that line of really strong Arkansas tight ends, Sprinkle and Hunter Henry and AJ Derby. I think Cantrell may be that next tight end that gets drafted in a year or two. But I think that there's still some question marks as to what they have behind him. And it could be a thing, Wes, where they use some fullbacks, Kendrick Jackson and Hayden Johnson, where they might use tight ends in past years.
Matt, Grant Morgan is already a pretty neat story, but I think when it's all said and done, this is going to be a really good story. And when you talk about Arkansas high school football, Arkansas Razorbacks football, walk on, then it's Drew's little brother. I think this is going to be a really cool story before it's all said and done.
It kind of reminds me of what's going on with the Allens. That Brandon came in and he waited his time, and then he had a nice end of his career. Austin Allen waited his time, had a good season last year. We'll see what happens this year. there's something about that lineage. I think, you know, with the Morgans, I think you're probably going to see that with Hayden Henry coming in after Hunter Henry. There's just something about living up to, you know, what your older brother did that I think drives those players. And Grant's been getting an opportunity this preseason because Dre Greenlaw's been out. I don't know that he'll play just a whole lot in the season backing up Greenlaw. I think Greenlaw obviously will get the majority of the snaps there because he's a quality linebacker. But what Grant's done in practice, you know, he was one of the more dominant players in practice the other day. What he's got to do is he's got to get stronger. There were some instances where, you know, guys just, you know, stiff-armed him and or, you know, fought him off. And he's got to get stronger to be able to take down SEC running backs. But I do think that he's got the instincts, maybe in about a year or two, that could pay off and he could be a quality linebacker for them in that position.
Matt, as always, great job. Enjoy talking Razorback sports with you. Have a fantastic day, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Wes. We'll see you.
It's Matt Jones, Whole Hogs.